Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's April 22nd, 2021. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 10, text 14. Yatha kantaka vidango jantur ne chatitam vyatam. Jiva samyam gato lingar na tata vidha kantakaha yata, just as kantaka veda angaha, a person whose body has been pinpricked, jantoho, of such an animal, not ichati, desires, tam, a particular, vyatam, pain, jivasamyam, gata, when he understands the position, is the same for everyone. Lingahi, by possessing a particular type of body. Not. Tata, so. Avida kantakaha, a person who has not been pinpricked. Translation. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Report by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There is also another common saying, Vandya ki bujibe prasava vedana. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by that same animal. This is called mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. Translation, by seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this. Amaginata madandasya ganantara salakaya chakshulan militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri chaitanya manovistam stapitam jena bhutale svaya rupa kadamayam tadati sva padandikam panchakopa tirubhishcha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. So today I did something unusual. I actually asked Dharmatma to give class today. I never asked to give a class. But today I felt that I had to. Because today, for me, is kind of a special day. It was 50 years ago today that Srila Prabhupada gave me first initiation. My only pride in it is that it's amazing that he still has me here somehow or other after 50 years. So when I see all of you, so many younger, very few older, but so many younger, you should understand that if this person can be sitting here after 50 years, anyone can, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a milestone, and it's the beginning for me. And I was looking over today, some of it was recorded, and fortunately enough, the recording started just as they called my name. There were some that didn't get in the recording, but it's there. And it was in Henry Street Temple. That doesn't mean a lot to most of you here, but those of us from America, we all knew Henry Street Temple, which was a temple in New York City, in Brooklyn, New York. It was there from, I guess, 72, until they got 1975, 76, the skyscraper. So I mentioned before it, and Prabhupada gave a lecture that day as well. And there were many initiated. I was looking over the list on that particular day, and many of them are here. Not here in Vrindavan, but they're here in Krishna consciousness in ISKCON. Rabindra Sarup and his wife, Sudamani, were both initiated that day. One godbrother, Shruta Shrava, who towards the end of his life took sannyas, and he was died a year or two ago. Shruta Dev, godbrother Shruta Dev, Kirti Raj. So it was a very wonderful day for all of us. And looking back, it's very interesting because, as you know, if you've read or listened to me at all, I had such a great fear of going to India because of austerities. But if you understand the austerities that we had in the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada spoke about it in the lecture that day. He talked about, even as he does here, about sinful activities, and he talked about atonement. How it's necessary to make proper atonement. He talked about different kinds of sinful activities. And he said, depending on those activities, he said, you have to take medicine. Medicine's your atonement. And he said, but some medicines, they're very costly. We know that here in this material world, medicines can be very costly. Some are very inexpensive. But depending on the activities, you require a certain medicine. And as he mentions here, one who kills, no question, he has to be killed. It wasn't until I came to Krishna consciousness that I even understood that spirit soul was in each and every body. Each and every living thing has the spirit soul. It's one of the great defects in Christianity, is that they give the soul only to humans, and therefore they can kill very freely, kill all other animals. But here it's said very specifically, a pinprick, Everyone getting in this material world, getting pricked by the pin. So we understand the pain. So anyway, that day was, we traveled from New Vrindavan, myself, Kirtanananda Maharaj, who I was with. I have to say, whatever transpired later on in my life was because of him. It was 3 months to the day I had moved into a, first met the devotees, April 22nd, or April, May, June, July, exactly 3 months. And that was the standard process then. You were in the temple for 3 months, and for those entire 3 months, all you wanted to do was take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. The atmosphere amongst the devotees there was so uplifting and so surcharged. From the moment you came, you wanted to be like them. You wanted to have what they had. And you knew the way to do that was to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. So it was an 8-hour drive. We get to New York City. And I already made my first blunder. I remember when we arrived, and many devotees were coming. It was the day before. So they were coming from all over the place. We traveled 8 hours in a car. Some traveled 3 days, 4 days in cars and vans just to see Srila Prabhupada. It just like it says here, you can look into the eyes and you can understand the pain in a person. Someone's in pain, you see it in the face. Even when one is unconscious. I remember some time ago, it was in a hospice, and the person was already, devotee, lady, she was already not conscious to us. Consciousness was there. And the nurses, just by looking at the face of a so-called unconscious person, they would look at the face, and depending on what they saw on the face, they would administer pain medication. Because conscious or unconscious, sleeping or awake, if you're in pain, it shows. It shows. So they would adjust the medication based on the look on the person's face. Even they're in a sleeping state, so-called unconscious state. What we had, of course, was the very opposite. The transcendental aspect of that. And that's what we would drive days and days, fly for days to see that face, the face of Srila Prabhupada, the face of a transcendental, pure devotee of the Lord. Because in that face, you didn't see, there was no pain in that face. We all have so many things we said. You saw the love of Krishna, you saw the compassion, you saw the mercy. And as we say many times, just by seeing that face, you can become Krishna conscious. So we would do anything to get to wherever Srila Prabhupada was, to see him 1 day, 2 days, 1 minute, 1 hour, giving class, Guru Puja, all of these things. But when we arrived from New Vrindavan, New Vrindavan was very austere. It was a farmhouse. Had no running water in the house, no bathrooms in the house. This was 1960s, 70s. It was like that in the country, in the USA. Not much different from village life here. There was an outhouse, 15, 20 meters away. Right outside the door, there was a well where you drew your water for everything. In the kitchen, there was no gas stove, no electric stove. It was a wood-burning stove. So this was our situation when we came into the temple there. So being in New Vrindavan, when I arrived in New York City, other devotees were coming from other places. Srila Prabhupada was also going to arrive at the airport in a couple of hours. But I got deterred because some people had come from Washington, D.C. in a van, and they invited me for prasadam. But they invited me for pizza prasad. So I went to the van. And when I went to the van, I missed the van that went to the airport to come and see Srila Prabhupada. So you can just see the dangers of the tongue. Just Just one little step, misstep. I didn't get to see Prabhupada coming from the airport. Of course, the next morning, I saw him for the first time in the temple room, sitting in the Vyasasan, like this garlands. I always still, to this day, 50 years later, I always think Prabhupada would put garlands on us. By wearing garlands, it also helps us in our Krishna consciousness, huh? It's also part of our atonement to decorate garlands from the deities. So I don't hesitate to take a garland either. So I saw Prabhupada for the first time. And nowadays you can do it actually with your Photoshop and things. You can make one thing in color and the background, you can just do them black and white, all the other people, all the other walls. That's what Prabhupada was like. You would look at him and everything else just faded into the background because of his effulgence. Color may have been there, but there was no color like Srila Prabhupada's. His clothing shone, of course his aura shone golden, his complexion was golden. So this was the first time I got to see him. And the day of initiation, of course it was summertime, just like here. It's hot and humid, just like here in Vrindavan at that time in New York. And the temple room was just like this, from the pillars to the rope, and not quite as long, and filled with hundreds of devotees. And each day, Prabhupada initiated 10 of us, which was a lot. Now they do thousands. For Prabhupada, 10, because he would sit there and chant on your japa beads. And these were beads that we strung ourselves. There was no store, no temple store, gift shops, nothing like that. Your clothes you made, your japa beads we had to make that morning, and our neck beads, which were just, they were wood, but it wasn't Tulsi wood, it was from a craft shop. But we had to string our neck beads. We strung our japa beads, we learned how to string the beads. And then we were in the temple room and the fire pit was there. Prajumna, he was our Sanskrit scholar. Panditji, as Prabhupada called him, Panditji. Such a nice. And Shyamasundar was secretary. So then they would call the names. And so finally my turn came, and as I said, we would have to memorize everything we were supposed to do because we didn't know very much. I didn't know very much. Knew how to offer obeisances, you learn these things, but even doing it, left side, we would have to like be conscious of doing it the right way, not having our feet face the deities or doing it from the wrong side. Whatever you did, Prabhupada would just sit there in the Vyasasan, just looking, looking, all these people he was bringing, all these people who were going to preach all over the world. So then they called my name, and the first thing they asked, which you're also repeating in your head constantly, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, over and over, so you didn't forget. Not because you couldn't think anything sitting before Prabhupada. He could take all your intelligence away from you. You're just mesmerized. We see these when you read in Bhagavatam, how the devotees are offering their prayers to the Lord, to the Supreme, the beautiful prayers. As I traveled with Prabhupada different times, it was Vyas Puja Day, of course, other times, he would have the devotees speak, to say something. Of course, I'd be right there, and I think, I hope he doesn't ask me to say anything. I can't say anything. I was with him 24 hours a day, but I couldn't think what to say in front of Prabhupada. So I offered my obeisances properly, dandavats before him, sat up, and he asked, what are the regulative principles? And I parroted them off very quickly. And then he didn't say, chant 16 rounds. He asked me, how many rounds do you chant? And that was my next mistake. Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Arashama Sundar Lalita Vishaka. That was my next mistake. I said, I'm chanting 20 rounds. He said, what? I said, I'm chanting 20 rounds a day. That was his only response. He could see right through. And then he had the beads I made, the beads he chanted on, and then he would stand. And he said, so your name is Shrutakirti. Jai. And then he said, Shrutakirti is the name of Krishna, which was nice to hear because it was also Krishna's aunt had a Shrutakirti, Aunt Shrutakirti. So having him say it was the name of Krishna was very nice because other people say, oh, there's an Aunt Shrutakirti. I say, yes, I know. I'm familiar with all the Shrutakirtis there are. He said, your name is, it's the name of Krishna, and it means one whose activities are world famous. So then the devotees all went, oh, Hari Bol. And then he again looked at me and said, and you are Shrutakirti Das. Okay. So again, he brought me back down to earth. So that was 50 years ago. Whoever imagined, so many years ago, we would be in this situation. I never imagined. There wasn't a temple here in Vrindavan. There's nothing here in Vrindavan for ISKCON. Prabhupada had sent a few devotees over the year before for the first time. So, of course, went back to the seat and somebody asked me my name and I said, I don't know, you know. We would find it posted on the door in front of Prabhupada's room. His Prajumna would write your name, your birth name, and then he would put the Sanskrit name with diacritic marks on it, and you would write it down, and you would pin it on yourself, so everybody knew what to call you then. So that was, we stayed there for some days, then we came back. So anyway, it's been a very long journey. I've been, again, everything is by Prabhupada's mercy. And not just for me. Everyone here, the more you realize your situation to be here, to be doing service within Prabhupada's society. As we said, there's always discussions going on. Devotee, I'm a devotee, I'm a disciple, but I'm not in ISKCON. And so many things are there as the years go by, even when Prabhupada was here. And Prabhupada said, I am ISKCON. He said, what is wrong there? He said, I've created it. He said, just like the Son, nothing but from the Father. He said, I have created ISKCON. He said, so I am ISKCON. So we're all serving Srila Prabhupada. See, this is the mercy that he gave us, that we can all render service directly to Srila Prabhupada. So in this verse, of course, it talks about pain. Pain and pleasure. I learned, even before becoming a devotee, I had a realization once. I had gotten very sick. I think I was in high school, senior in high school, 17 years old. I got very sick. And then when I got better, I realized only happiness in the material world is being healthy. If you're healthy, that's your happiness. That's what it's limited to. Nothing else is there. Everything else, your reactions are there, what we're discussing. And I felt that at that time. It was a couple years later then I was with Srila Prabhupada. And I said then, traveling with him, many pinpricks. Always getting pinpricked in this material world. And you can see it. You can see it in the faces. Look at Prabhupada's faces. 20,000 photos. If you're lucky enough to get a hold of the file, there's like 20,000 photos of Srila Prabhupada. 20,000. Once, Vishakha, Yadubara's wife, who did all the took so many thousands and thousands of pictures. She was in the room with Prabhupada and she was taking photographs. She said, "Is it okay?" Prabhupada was, "Yes." Prabhupada was, he totally ignored the camera. You know, when we take our cameras out, we have our poses, stomach in, smile on. So Prabhupada, he just went on like nothing else was happening around them. No cameras were there. In class, they had to use, where's our German is in here, they had to use Leica. Leica camera was the only camera you could use in a class. Why is that? It was the only camera that when you clicked it, it didn't make a noise. It was silent. Because even that click, that disturbed Prabhupada when he was giving class, naturally. So they would do that. So Vishakha, she was there taking photos and she said, "Is it okay?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." And then he looked at her and he said, "Do I look okay?" And she laughed. She said, "Prabhupada, you always look wonderful, transcendental." That was Prabhupada. So that's what we saw. We would see that person. Someone asked Prabhupada, "What does it mean? What do you think when you chant Hare Krishna?" And there's one time. What was his answer to that one? Many answers. He said, "I'm fearless." So this is the face of a devotee. He's fearless. He's not concerned about any pinpricks in this material world. There's no pinpricks can bother him. So when I came to India with Prabhupada, oh, I got sick. Like I had never been sick. First time jaundice. I had a reprieve in Vrindavan. For 1 month, when we were here in Vrindavan, Kartik in 1972, I was eating whatever was brought to me and drinking whatever water was available. There was no little bottles of, Himalayan water, and yes, all these things were there at a dollar a bottle. No, we just drank from whatever was handed to us. So for a month I was okay. But then it finally hit my body, one disease after another disease. And I said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I've never been so sick." He looked at me. He said, "Really?" He said, That's very unusual. He said, our natural condition is disease. He said, we're always diseased. He said, to be healthy is very rare. He said, to be sick, he said, that's normal condition. Yes, Prabhupada. He saw everything so differently. But gradually he trained. He was training us the proper way to see things. Proper way to see just the flower. Always mention those jasmines. We have jasmines that are blooming now. MVT. If you get out early enough, 5 in the morning, you can find some jasmine flowers that haven't been picked by the other devotees for their deities. So those jasmine, Prabhupada, he was very fond of the jasmine. And he told me to get them every night before he went to bed. And then he just, "This is Krishna." That's not a pinprick, that's Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada saw. He saw Krishna. He saw things very differently. On a morning walk, when he saw Mexico City, he's with 20 devotees, GBC, sannyasis, and he stopped at a dead tree. And I'm standing with the microphone. That was my, again, very fortunate service. You're holding the microphone, you're next to him. So I'm holding the microphone. So he looks at all of us, all his 20, 30-year-old boys. He said, "Why did the tree die?" I knew from the very first question Prabhupada asked, way before I was even a Brahmin in his room, I knew if he asked a question, you don't know the answer. You don't know it. You think you know it, but you don't know it. Because even if you're right, he's going to make you wrong. That was another one of Prabhupada's very sweet qualities, is he liked to toy with his disciples. So he said, why has it died? So the first person to respond, Sannyasi GBC, oh, Prabhupada, it became diseased. Prabhupada had that. He loved to shake his head like, no. So now everyone's thinking. And everyone wants to speak to Prabhupada. Everyone wants to say something just so you have that intimate association with the pure devotee who you may never see again. Most of these devotees, they would just get to see him this one time. It got old. Prabhupada shook his head again. Another one down. And I was with him for 2 years. And I had no idea, but I'm thinking, what does he want to hear? What's he thinking? What does he know? So I said, Prabhupada, I said, the spirit souls left. Yes, he said, souls left the body. I had no other understanding, but I'm thinking, what does he think? What does a pure devotee, how is he thinking? And I responded in that way, and somehow or other I was correct, only because of his influence. Even there's no realization, no realization of that, but still I had an idea. And Prabhupada gave me that idea. I'm going to tell you one thing I've never said, because it's so embarrassing. We were in Australia, and Prabhupada said to me, so, Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. He said, so, how much time can you spend on one verse? How much time? What do you think? How much time?
1 month?
See, that would be a very good answer. I didn't say like that. What did I say? I said 15 minutes. 15 minutes, I look back and think, all the things I said to him, that had to be one of the most absurd things I ever said. 15 minutes on a verse. And he just looked at me, and he said so. He said, in that way, it would take you, and he said, I don't know how many months or years it would to go over all the verses, but I'm thinking, how did he tolerate? How could he tolerate such nonsense? Because that's who he came to save. All of us nonsense. So much nonsense. I can't speak for all of you. But I can tell you, 50 years, it's been a very... any of you go skiing? Ever been in the mountains? You know the mountains we have? Himalayas. All of you should see the Himalayas. It is up there. Well, that's been me in my Krishna consciousness. Not been like this. Not been one nice, steady, easy trek going forward. Been many ups and downs. And somehow, Prabhupada has always been there. He's also been pushing with the pin. Different kind of pinprick. Pushing in the proper direction. His instructions are always there. Traveling, they're there. I've said many times when he said, if there's a bed, we sleep in a bed. But if we're not provided a bed, we sleep on the floor. This was Prabhupada. Whatever came, that was okay. Because he was absorbed in his service to Krishna. So Prabhupada, he gave me one benediction. We've been reading about Nala Kuvera, Manigriva, the curse. wasn't a curse, it's a blessing. So I also had a blessing. I've said it before, but it's one of my one of my joys, because Prabhupada is pure devotee. You say he's a man of his word. So I had been with Prabhupada for a year, and Prabhupada was very regulated. You always knew what was going to happen at the certain time of the day. Wherever you went in the world, he set his watch, boom, you're on. 6 a.m, you're on a morning walk. Doesn't matter where you were the day before, if you slept the night before, if you were flying through. 6 a.m. is time for morning walk. And then we greet the deities, then we have class, then we have breakfast. Everywhere we went was just like that. So being his servant, you could understand the schedule. Massaging him. Lunch, every day I prepared. 2.5 years in that cooker. Rice, dal, and then you put in the different vegetables, make 3 or 4 sabji preparations, bitter melon fried in a little ghee with salt and turmeric. Every day it would go on. And every day that's what he ate for lunch. Every day, rice, chapatis, dal, and sabjis. Every day at the same time. So, being with him, if you have any intelligence given by Krishna, you understand the routine, you know what to do. So even massaging him, I knew how long to massage his head, how long his back, pulling his fingers, massaging his feet, always until he shook his head. And that could be from 1 to 2 hours. But the one time it was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, you've all seen pictures, if you haven't been to Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada has a very, very nice room there, very big sitting room. And in the corner on the right hand side in the back is his cushion on the floor. No sofas, couches, love seats, dining room tables and chairs. No, it was the same. And they imitated what they did in Mayapur. Prabhupada's favorite sitting room was Mayapur, because all the floor was covered in cushions with white sheets, and the bolster pillows behind all along the wall. Prabhupada had his bolster pillow behind him with just a cushion on the floor. You see those pictures, Prabhupada in Mayapur? Very relaxed in Mayapur. Prabhupada was very relaxed in Mayapur. So at the manor, they did like that. Big, big room, all white sheets on the floor. Guests would come, they would all have a nice sitting place. But the floor was very beautiful wood. I don't know what kind of wood, but they were like 50 feet long, these pieces of wood. It requires special. Anyway, the one day I'm massaging Prabhupada, and I'm rubbing his head with the sandalwood oil. And then I do his back. He said, as hard as you can. Told many times, you can't do it too hard. I tried. You couldn't move his... He might have weighed 55 kilos or something. Very light. But even you massaged him as hard as you could, he just sat there like he was watching a video. Just sat there comfortably, testing me as hard as you can. I realized I couldn't do it that hard. I thought I could, but he won. So I massage his back, and then I get up to go beside him, because now you're going to rub his chest. I never asked what to do. I used to rub his belly. Prabhupada had nice belly. I would rub it, and then his arms, and he would just, whatever you did, he would just sit and grab his arm, pull everything down, and grab his fingers, and yank his fingers, crack his knuckles. But when I moved to the side, I knocked a bottle of mustard oil and the cap wasn't on it. Something he would tell you, put the cap on the oil. Imagine such a little thing, and he's going to tell you that because he knows just the little things matter. But I didn't. So when I went to the side, I knocked it over. And of course, it started spilling all over the nice, shiny wood floor. Prabhupada grabbed it. Even I didn't grab it. His reflexes were quicker. He picked it up, yelled, "You fool! You'll be intelligent when you're 80. Then it got quiet. Then he said, "Go get a katori." I ran out of the room, came back with the katori. Might have been the one time, I don't remember if I offered obeisances when I came back in the room. Always offered obeisances, in and out. But it was not a good situation. And he was angry. You didn't want to make Prabhupada angry. You never wanted to make Prabhupada angry. I definitely did not like to see Prabhupada angry. I didn't mind, I didn't even like seeing him yell at others. Sometimes I did. Depends on who the person was. And it depends what he was yelling about, because there was real anger and then there was just chastising your disciple kind of anger, which was much different. So I came back and it's very, the room is light, but it's very dark in the room, very heavy now. And maybe it's all just me, but I'm thinking, Prabhupada is so upset. He's not even looking, won't even look at me. And he said, "Do as I'm doing." Another wonderful instruction. His first instruction when I became his servant was, "Follow me." That's what we're doing. We're following Prabhupada. So then he said, "Do like I'm doing." And Prabhupada was just put his hand in the oil on the floor and start scraping it into the cup. So for the next few minutes, the two of us, not a word is spoken, scraping the oil into the cup. And then I got done. And then he looked at me and said, "Now use that oil for the massage." So that was like another dagger. There's a dirty oil off the floor. So there were, I don't know, two principles. One is we don't waste anything. And the other one is he just made me feel worse than I already felt. So I continued the massage, rubbing. And, you know, you feel little dusty things as you're rubbing on his arms and his legs. And he's just sitting there, eyes closed, legs out, not a word, not even his eyes open. And I'm taking all this in as he's really upset, you know. He called me a fool. But the whole time I'm meditating, which was common for me. If I wanted to speak to Prabhupada, I never just said something. I always meditated on it. I would think, what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? And what will his response be? And then what will I say depending on his response? All these things would go through my head. Happened more than once. So a half hour and I'm still rubbing. And he's like he was totally somewhere else. Or I was totally somewhere else. But we were definitely, didn't seem like we were in the same place. So then finally I'm holding on to his feet. I'm rubbing his lotus feet. Soft, pink on the bottom. And same thing, pulling his toes. You know, also when, because that was a success. If you can pull the toes and fingers and they crack, then that's very good. And now they're covered with oil, so pulling them to getting them to do that is not so easy, especially the toes. You know, fingers are long, you can grab a hold of it. But the toes make them crack, that's not so easy. But you would do it, determined to do it. His big toe is a little difficult to make crack. So I realize he's going to be gone in a few minutes. But I have to fix this. And again, being the rascal person that I was, never said I'm sorry. I never said it to Prabhupada, never used those words. I would always think of some, you know, this way. I would always have to go that way. Never just, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I'll never do that again. It was foolish. Which a normal person would do. So, rubbing his feet, and I said, Prabhupada, I said, thank you. I said, I thought it would take a lot longer for me to become intelligent. Because he said I'll be intelligent when I'm 80. So I said that, and Prabhupada started laughing and laughing and laughing, and he's slapping his knee, and he's laughing, and his whole body is shaking, you know, covered in mustard oil, and his body's shaking, and tears are coming. He's laughing and laughing. So I knew Prabhupada little bit. And then he laughed and he looked at me, he said, yes. He said, when we were young, he said, when we were young boys, if somebody did some nonsense, he said, we'd say, you fool, you'll be intelligent when you're 80. He said, and I've used it on you. And just like that, the whole atmosphere, like the sun came back out and everything was wonderful. And that was the Prabhupada that I knew. Prabhupada that laughed at things you could joke with. So it was very fortunate. So I carry that to this day. As I told last week, I turned 70 years old. It happened when I was 22. So it's been a long time. And it's somehow or other, only by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we're here at this time in Vrindavan. And the only thing I want this day, all of you, just pray I can remain in Vrindavan for the rest of this life. I never wanted to be here in those days, never wanted to be in India, and now I don't ever want to leave this place. Whatever goes on, I just want to be here at Prabhupada's home and remain in his home life after life. So thank you all for being here today. And
only 10 more years,
you know, so I just have to stay alive. Just have to stay alive for the next 10 years, and I'm banking. I'm going to become intelligent. So it's still not there. There's a shadow intelligence is there, because there's no realizations, no realization, but the words I know. I know some of the words. So any questions?
Thank you so much for the encouragement. I was in those exact same places here. Thank you so much for sharing. You mentioned that at the time of the initiation, Srila Prabhupada talked about atonement. And we see that many disciples, either in your generation or current generation, after some time in initiation, experiences some sort of challenges in regulative principles, some fall away from chanting the daily quota of grounds. So how accessible is Srila Prabhupada's mercy to those devotees who are experiencing such challenges?
Prabhupada, you know, like they say with blessings, you know, blessings are there for everyone. So many times people ask me for blessings. I said, what blessings? Prabhupada's giving everything. He's giving all the blessings. And he gave a very simple formula. This is the formula. This whole morning, from 4 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, we just dive in to the program that he gave us. That's our atonement. That's how we take care of all of our business, all of our family business. So many worry, what about my family, my mother, my father, I left, you know, they're counting on me. As we know, there's nothing better you can do than to become Krishna conscious. His way was always chant your rounds, follow the principles, and read his books. Read his books every day. What I do see, those that have served him, even personally over the years, we know over the years so many people have left. They all seem that Prabhupada comes for them. I have a confidence that when we leave, Prabhupada comes, takes us by the hand. I've seen it, I've heard it. I don't know where he takes you. That's his business. That's our business, depending on what we've done. But Prabhupada's always there. As he said, of course, if you don't come back, I have to come back. He said many different things. Here in Vrindavan, he said his illnesses were due to those not following. The leaders not following created illness. People touching his feet, he said, created difficulties. So many things. Our business is to encourage those. That's, you know, there's so many devotees. We have so many Prabhupada disciples are all over the world. As I mentioned, 2 years ago, Bhakti Chiru Maharaj wanted to have another big gathering and just invite all of them to come. So it's not just their business, what they're doing, it's also what we're doing. You know, what are we doing to make that home? Everyone has a place, a home the whole world can live in. What to speak the whole world? What about Prabhupada's followers? You know, we got to make the home comfortable for them one way or another. By knowing whatever, they're welcome. The last class I gave, I told a story. How welcoming Prabhupada was to a fallen disciple to come and do service. Just something, get them to do something. So that also becomes our job. You know, just like I came here a year and a half ago. You know, he kept trying to get me to do service. And I was very resistant. I was very resistant for almost a year. I don't like to get involved, you know. I don't like anxiety. I don't like stress. I don't like confrontation. And that's all you get. You get involved with management. It's filled with stress, anxiety, confrontation, chastising others. Why would anyone want to do that except as a service for Srila Prabhupada, for his mission? So that also I realized at this time, it's what I want to do. Whatever time I have left, it's not going to be a lot of time. Could be a day, could be 10 years, who knows? But whatever it is, just try to do something for the remainder of this life. So that's all of our jobs. And if we see others that have somehow or other fallen away, most people say in surveys that, and not just within ISKCON, everywhere, people leave because they don't feel encouraged. They don't feel appreciated. So that also is something. Prabhupada could make you feel appreciated over the littlest thing. He once made me feel so happy because he liked the way I washed his gumsha. You know, I washed the gumsha. Prabhupada said it looked so nice. He said it was not like that. I said, well, I did it myself. It was very nice. He said, so we just have to do a little something. So others, it's the same thing. If we see somebody struggling, find out what is it they can do, how to help them. And that helps both, you know, the giver and the receiver. And so all these instructions are there.
She left for quite some time, and you know, I covered over pretty heavy when I was in Los Angeles in 93, I believe, when they had that earthquake. He came there because he was, you know, ready to leave his body. Somehow he felt the love of the devotees, you know, Prabhupada. So, not saying that this is a general practice that I can leave and do whatever nonsense I want to do in Prabhupada to protect me, but there are examples, as you said, that sometimes you've done, and they haven't done much to speak with your bias within day. So whatever service you do is to your general bank account, and somehow Prabhupada makes arrangements for those who sincerely surrender and serve. We don't know all the details of, well, if somebody's now acting sinfully, what happens to him, and that. But Jami was there, and somehow Vishnu knew this came.
Yeah.
They're just a comment.
Yes. No, I know a few who served Prabhupada personally. One was Sannyasi, the other is my friend and godbrother who was here in 77. He was outside for years, but then when he got sick, the devotees that offered him a place to stay and take care of him until he died. That happens a number of times. Even, you know, being here in Vrindavan at this time, I see Krishna arranges things. He takes away so many things to put you in a position where you really don't have a choice other than be involved in devotional service and surrounded by devotees. There's nothing more we want, you know, particularly at the time of death, than to be surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, to be in a place like Vrindavan, who could imagine? But yes, anyone does service, I've seen they always, arrangements are made by the higher powers, arrangements are made that's always acknowledged, it's never forgotten. As Prabhupada would say, whatever you accomplish, 10%. Sarabi. And he couldn't believe, he was afraid to come back because he had been gone for what, 30, 40 years he was gone, you know? And he felt embarrassed. He couldn't believe how much he was loved by everyone in the society. And then he went to Los Angeles, and then of course he came back here. Everywhere he went, he was just saturated with love, and it overwhelmed him. So that's our business.
I spoke to him on the phone, he was in a good mood, next day he passed away from Vrindavan.
Hadn't been in a temple for 30, 40, was doing business, you know. Anyway, yes. These things are going on. They're miracles. They're actual miracles. And it gives us faith, those who are still around. You stick to the process. Even one falls away, Krishna makes arrangements. What to speak if you can just stick to the process despite all the pinpricks that are there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned, you know, 50 years and movement, and it's a long journey. So I wanted to know from you that in your personal spiritual life practices, other than four regulative principles and 15 norms, what is that one spiritual practice which has always kept you totally stuck to the moment of ISKCON? There was a phase when Lord Prabhupada disciples left. Some went to God and some decided to stay by themselves and practice spiritual life and not be the part of the movement which has changed over the years. But spending 50 glorious years and still being that active preacher and spreading glory from Prabhupada. So what is that which keeps you totally stick to the movement? If you could share with us. And I have two questions. And the other thing is, in New Vrindavan, after the famous Bhagavad Dharma discourse, you were present in. You got instructions that Prabhupada is going to travel the globe and you should accompany him as a servant. Share a book, what is the definition? So, how do you see that, experience, you know, when you got the news that you get to travel with Srila Prabhupada?
Okay. So first question, I was living in temple environment from 71 to 83. Just in 83 I moved out with a family, had a place, it wasn't near a temple. And for the next 15 years I was not very involved in ISKCON. And afterwards when I did come back, I felt like actually I had been protected for those years. By not becoming discouraged by many things that were going on that could have been very discouraging, you know, and were to many. Many felt like they were removed and everything. But I was independently did whatever I did. So I felt that I was like put off and saved for later. So I'm hoping that later I'm doing something with. And what really inspires me is just remembering Srila Prabhupada. Speaking about Srila Prabhupada, because he's present. You know? He's always present, but just like Krishna, he's present in his pastimes. You know, Lord Chaitanya is present when you're chanting the holy name in Harinam. Prabhupada's presence is there. So I feel it strongly when I engage in his activities. It's for the other question, and we'll skip that for now. It's prasadam time. Yes, only one per person. All right, we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.